Welcome to The Sound of Economics, podcast series by Bruegel, the Brussels-based economics think tank. I am Yuyun Zhen. Today, I'm joined by Bruegel director Guntram Wolf and senior fellow George Darvas, who were invited to the recent Economic and Financial Affairs Council in Slovenia to present their paper, A Green Fiscal Pact, Climate Investment in Times of Budget Consolidation. In the paper, they introduced a green golden rule to address the challenge of increasing green public investment while consolidating deficits. Hi Guntram, glad to have you here. Could you fill us in on the context of this paper and why it's produced in the first place?
Thank you, Yuyun, for hosting us today. And it's a great pleasure to discuss this paper today. And perhaps to start, why did we write this paper? So we were asked by the Slovenian presidency of the EU to come to the informal meeting of EU finance ministers and central bank governors, which happened last week in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and to present a paper on the recovery and fiscal strategies in the recovery, and in particular, the question how to preserve investment and especially green investment in this important consolidation period that is ahead of us. To give you a sense, all EU countries have engaged in major fiscal deficits, have increased their deficits substantially in this pandemic period. Debt levels have increased. And it is clear, unquestionably clear, that over the next couple of years, if not the entire decade, there will be a budget consolidation process ongoing, meaning deficits will have to be cut. At the same time, we compute in our paper that the investment needs are very substantial. The overall investment needs to address climate change is estimated to be an additional 360 billion per year, according to the European Commission, of which, in our estimates, a quarter roughly could be public money, would have to be public money. So that means we have to increase public investments very substantially, and at the same time, reduce budget deficits. That's a major challenge. Historically, this really never fully worked. So it's typically when there is a budget consolidation phase, public investments are cut, not increased. So that's the challenge. And I think it's fair to say that this challenge is now widely understood to be a major challenge of the next years. And in our paper, we then present a number of solutions how this can be addressed. And perhaps I'll let Jolt, my colleague who co-authored the paper with me, present some of the solutions and we engage in a discussion.
Sure, Jolt, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yuyun and Guntram. Indeed, what we have noticed that in historical episodes of fiscal consolidations, there were major cuts to public investment. Certainly, there were more cuts in countries that were under market pressure and had high debts and low cuts or almost no cut, for example, in Sweden. But the current situation is that many countries have excess public debts. Many countries have very large budget deficits. And when the European Union fiscal rules will be reinstated from 2023, then these countries will have to consolidate under the current fiscal rules. So what are the options to address this tension of fiscal consolidation and increased public investment needs? Now, one which would come immediately to mind is basically to relax fiscal rules, namely to allow countries to do less fiscal consolidation or do it for a much longer time period than what is currently allowed by the existing rules. But we think that this wouldn't be really a solution, because if countries indeed have a tendency to cut public investment during consolidation phases, in fact, there are good reasons for that. For example, if they postpone building a road or building a bridge, then, you know, there are not many interest groups that would protest against that. But if they, you know, cut public investment or don't increase pensions, not to mention even cutting pensions, then certainly there are major interest groups that would protest. So indeed, there's a political bias against investment during fiscal consolidation phases. So if you just, you know, relax fiscal rules, countries might not be incentivized to do more public investment. They might just use the fiscal space to preserve the non-investment part of the budget, because that is politically much more sensitive. So we think that that's basically not a good solution to relax the fiscal rules. And additionally, you also look at what is the most flexible possible application of fiscal rules after 2023. And we concluded that with a, I would say, intelligent or flexible implementation of the fiscal rules, the overall pace of fiscal consolidation would not be that harsh. Moreover, with the Next Generation EU program, which is currently being implemented, many countries, especially more indebted countries in the south and the poorer countries in the east, will get very substantial funds as grants or transfers from the European Union. And these funds also ease the impact of fiscal consolidation. So countries do some fiscal consolidation, but on the other hand, they will get a lot of funds from the EU, from Next Generation EU. So indeed, we don't think that the general relaxation of the fiscal rules is a sensible or good solution. Instead, we should look something else. And there are two other options. One is somehow treating climate-related investment differently in fiscal rules. And the third one is going for another big European fund to fund green investment. And I mean, Guntram has discussed the pros and cons of both of these options.
Yes, indeed. So again, just to summarize, so the three options, the first one is a general relaxation of the fiscal rules, which we do not recommend because of the budgetary risks. With the one exception, I have to say, the so-called 1/20th rule. So we do not think debt ratios should be reduced by a very high speed, let's put it this way, so that in 20 years, the 60% debt to GDP ratio would be reached. I mean, that goal is clearly not achievable, and it's not defendable to force countries into such a massive austerity program. So that rule will have to be ditched one way or another. But, you know, a general relaxation beyond that, we don't think is advisable. And the second option is some form of a green golden rule, in which green investments would be exempted from the Stability and Growth Pact considerations. And the third would be, let's say, the most European solution would be to fund green investments out of some sort of EU borrowing, such as the one done by the EU Recovery Fund. And in the end, we do think that the second option, some sort of a green golden rule, is the most realistic and the most achievable one. It would allow to do the investments. It would prioritize. It would provide political incentives for these investments. And it would mean that these investments would go up and not down in this consolidation period. We also do warn, of course, that there are risks to that. And the risks are related to fiscal sustainability concerns to the extent that those exist. And, you know, if you think that a country has serious fiscal sustainability worries, if you think that this is the case before the Green Deal, well, then you shouldn't bet that the Green Deal will solve the growth problem, because the Green Deal in itself is not necessarily a net positive on growth. And so there are then the same concerns as with any other debt. And so in that sense, I think we need to be mindful in the countries that have very high debt levels and where fiscal sustainability is perhaps more of an issue. We need to think about very carefully about how much can be covered with own borrowing and how much EU solutions need to be provided, or to what extent different budgetary priorities need to be set. So overall, we come down at saying we really need to find a way of exempting these green investments from the calculations of the fiscal rules, because if we do not do that, then these investments will not happen. And I think there is broad societal agreement and political agreement that these investments really need to be happening.
Joe, is there anything you want to add?
Let me discuss the third option, namely using a possible brand new European Union fund to support green investment. This would be the most European solution by definition. And, you know, that fund could work in principle the same way as the next generation EU instrument is working, namely that the European Union borrows from the market and then distributes the money to member states to implement the necessary green investment. Beyond being a European approach, it would also have the great advantage that all the green investments would be approved by both the European Commission and the European Council. And that could ensure that indeed countries spending only green investments, which are very much in line with the European Union green goals and climate change goals, because, you know, it's very, very difficult to define what is actually green investment. So if the Council approves the green investment plan of a country, that gives a political legitimacy to such an investment. So there could be a number of positive elements of a big new European fund on green investments, but both its feasibility and also its desirability are not that clear cut. Now, in terms of feasibility, if you think about that public green investments will have to increase between 0.5% and 1% of GDP each year, and not just in the current decade, in the 2020s, but even in the 2030s and 2040s, then this fund needs to be a very, very big fund, much, much larger, several factors larger than the next generation EU fund. So I think it immediately underlines that it's not very realistic. It was already very difficult to agree on the next generation EU fund. And we can recall the difficult negotiations whereby after the Commission's proposal, member states lowered the amount of grants in the next generation EU. Now, I really can't imagine that they would agree to a much, much bigger fund. So politically, it's not very realistic. And also another important question, whether such a fund would also involve redistribution, as let's say next generation EU involves redistribution, or even the usual 7-year EU's multi-annual financial framework involves a large degree of redistribution. Because if not, then, you know, the fund would, you know, just centralize the borrowing and give the same money back to member states. That would have much more limited rationale. But also, if we consider the option of redistribution, that's not clear-cut whether that would be really desirable. Now, first of all, on the fiscal sustainability side, you know, we want countries to have sustainable fiscal positions. Now, in the times of COVID crisis, it was certainly very well justified that the European Union offered a helping hand to those member states that have higher debt. It was also in their best interest because, let's say, if countries with higher debt would have faced a much more dramatic crisis in 2020 and in this year, this would have major negative spillovers for other member states with healthier fiscal positions. But such kind of demand externalities does not really exist for a possible climate investment fund. And also, if climate is really, really global, so if we think about, let's say, where Germany could spend its money more efficiently on mitigating climate change, then probably using it in Africa and in more developed countries that spend very, very little would have more significant benefits for the overall global climate development than spending in Italy or Spain or in Poland. So altogether, considering both the political feasibility, which we think is not really there, but also on the desirability, we concluded that such fund would, again, is an interesting idea, but don't really think that the right solution. So indeed, we concluded that the best solution is option two that Guntram well described, namely that we exclude the net climate-related investment from the fiscal rules under the Stability and Growth Pact. Now, again, here also it's absolutely important what we consider climate-related investment.
Right, but what can be counted as climate-related investment?
And for that, we think that, again, there should be a European agreement what can be regarded climate-related investment and what kind of investments can be excluded from fiscal rules. So it shouldn't be left on the discretion of each country, but there should be a very clear list of possible investments which could be excluded. And again, there should be also be a proper governance framework involving national fiscal councils, national audit offices, the European Fiscal Board, the European Court of Auditors, and other mechanisms to check the implementation of such a green golden rule.
Well, Joel, perhaps let me just add on, the overall discussion. I think it's important to understand, of course, that our paper comes at a time where the discussion on the European fiscal rules has restarted. I think one can interpret our proposal also as a proposal that, would be, I think, a doable way of reforming the European fiscal rule framework. It is clear that the current one has significant technical problems, and we've written about these problems quite in depth. But it's also clear that abandoning fiscal rules altogether is also not really an option, neither politically, nor does it make sense from an economic point of view, given that countries are joined up in a monetary union and the sustainability of public debt is actually not just a national affair, it's a joint affair, because you cannot credibly default in a monetary union, at least not in a big way. So I think we need a framework that manages the sustainability of public finance, and where member states at the end come together, discuss, debate, and then agree on a solution. And, of course, there are fights, but they in the end, they somehow have to agree. And that's what the rules achieve. And so I do think we need some sort of a set of rules. Now, I think a lot of Northern European countries are extremely worried that now the discussion, the general discussion about reforms of the fiscal rules, is being instrumentalized as an approach to just relax the fiscal rules in general and, is essentially encourage less sustainable fiscal policies. And therefore, there was a very strong opposition to changes of the fiscal rules voiced by so-called Frugal Eight this time. So Northern European countries that sent a letter and were heavily opposed to any changes of the fiscal rules. I do think our paper, in a sense, falls in the middle and says, look, I mean, yes, we think in principle we want to reform the rules, but we also see that there are dangers and difficulties of doing it. But the one thing on which we think everybody can actually agree is the need for green investment. And I think everybody also understands that these major green investments are not going to be done by cutting pensions or raising taxes on labor or whatever. I mean, this is not going to happen like this, because citizens will not accept it. So in that sense, I do think there is a sort of a window of opportunity, because to bring together these two debates, how to fund the green investments with some changes in the fiscal rules, that would make sense from a macroeconomic point of view, but would also make sense from a climate perspective. So I think that's how we overall frame our proposal. And I would say this debate will be a long debate. I mean, it certainly is only starting, but I think there's scope for some progress in this debate also at a political level.
Thank you, Drott and Guntram, for being with us today. Indeed, consolidating deficits and meeting climate goals are already difficult to achieve separately, not to mention solving them both at the same time. I'm sure today won't be the last time we discuss this. For our audience who wish to read more, the paper A Green Fiscal Pact, Climate Investment in Times of Budget Consolidation is linked in our show notes. To access more Bruegel research, you can go to our website, www.bruegel.org. Until next time, bye-bye!